Welcome to Hungry Dads, a couple of guys who started a podcast as an excuse to bring snack food into the house. On this week's show...
You're like the Batman of eating junk food.
Most aggravating type of baby poop.
I just wish there were a pile of plain tortillas.
Family Matters father, Carl Winslow.
Hospital food is delicious.
It's pretty clean as far as poop goes.
Breast milk.
People find him eating an entire cake.
I think it's didactic.
The burp whisperer.
Urkel represents the annoyance that we live through.
I think it's trenchant.
I think it's a schism.
It's about the TV show Step by Step.
The first thing that popped into my head was Wonder Bread.
We also talk about Scott Stapp, who is the lead singer of Creed.
What is going on?
Hello and welcome to episode 71 of the Hungry Dads podcast. I'm Rod Budget.
I'm Hugh Gallen. And we are lucky to have a bona fide celebrity with us tonight. He's a fellow podcaster. You've surely heard him on his now concluded podcast, Family Chatters, which was a very legitimate, very entertaining, very funny analysis of not the entirety of the 90s television show Family Matters, just the last season. He now has a new podcast called Step by Step that we're going to talk about in a little bit. Welcome, Chris. Chris, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hi, and thank you very much for having me, and thank you for calling my podcast legitimate. I appreciate it.
Well, we're very legitimate. We only have legitimate podcasters join us. I believe this is our first podcast guest. Am I right, Hugh?
That is correct. The reason we have Chris here is because he's a new dad. We're trying to diversify the voices on the podcast, experimenting with these ideas, and it's just me and Rod talking about them, so we're bouncing them off other dads to see if there's room for debate.
The podcast has become a little bit more democratic, I'd say, over the past several episodes.
And more importantly, the reason that Chris is here is because, and this is 100% true, I am a legitimate chat head, and that's what we call ourselves who are fans of the podcast Family Chatters. I've used my podcasting prowess to score him as a guest here.
It was tough to get. I had a lot of other requests to record tonight for a lot of shows. Jimmy Fallon, all the big ones. I might actually be replacing Michael Strahan on Live with Regis and Kelly. Or I guess it's not called Regis and Kelly anymore.
And you're the linchpin to this whole controversy.
Yep, I am.
Well, I'm going to consider myself a chat head as well. Even though I've never listened to the podcast, I'd like to consider myself a chat head.
Well, thank you. So you're an honorary chat head.
I appreciate that. You could have denied me flatly, as you should have, but I'll take it.
No. I don't turn away anybody.
Here's the great thing about Family Chatters, other than the name. I did watch Family Matters and reruns, but I can guarantee you I never watched a single episode of the last season, which showed on like a totally different network.
Right.
So was the last season like consecutive with the other seasons, or was it like much later?
It came right after. It got canceled.
Right.
So they did 8 seasons. It got canceled. It was on ABC, on TGIF.
Yep.
And instead of just going away, like they should have, they said, we got one more season in us. So they moved to CBS and they had this 9th season. And exactly what you said is why I did the podcast. It's because nobody watched it.
Right.
I didn't watch it. And I had watched it like early seasons when I was younger. But it is really outrageous. They literally go to outer space at the end. That's how the show ends.
My curiosity has peaked. I must watch it now.
There's no point in watching it. Just listen to the podcast. Honestly, I don't think I could watch it.
That was the hardest part.
Now, did they meet Alf in outer space? Because I would definitely watch that.
That's a better crossover than what we're doing right now.
It's a better crossover than the Harlem Globetrotters and Gilligan's Island, although that was classic as well.
Absolutely.
And we're going to talk about Chris's new podcast, Step by Step. But first, I want to do a thing with you, Chris, that we call Quick Hits.
Right.
Quick Hits is a segment we do on the show where we ask either or questions, rapid fire, I guess, and then we circle back and talk about them. So this is kind of your gut reaction. Rod, how are we going to do this? I'm going to do the first one.
You start with the first one. I'll do the second. You do the third. I'll do the fourth. You do the fifth. I'll do the sixth.
Okay. And then is there a seventh? Jeez, we got seven of these?
Yeah, we got more than seven, I think.
And what am I doing this whole time?
You just sit and listen. Have a good time.
All right, good. Okay, great.
Well, do you have to answer?
Oh, okay. Do we have buzzers? Can we use buzzers?
Whoever's tired of the awkward pause, speak first.
Great.
All right. So, quick hits. Let's get started. A lot of these are focused right towards you, Chris. You're a new dad. First quick hit, burping the baby. Is this an annoying chore or is this kind of a cool challenge?
It's an annoying chore.
I'm going to say, ultimately, yes, annoying chore.
Annoying chore.
Circle gets the square.
All right. Next up, mothers drinking restrictions when they're pregnant or breastfeeding. Abstain in support or get loaded as needed?
Definitely loaded as needed.
I'm going to abstain in support, I think. Yeah.
Largely abstain in support.
Chris, you're a bad guy.
All right.
What a dick.
I know.
You can't say that.
All right. This one's near and dear to my heart. Hospital food. To be avoided or actually pretty tasty? And I'm going to answer this one first because I feel very strongly about it. Hospital food is delicious.
I'm going to say to be avoided.
I'm going to say actually pretty tasty.
All right. This is why we bring people on the show.
Here we go.
This is good.
We don't need to encourage Hugh and his hospital fetishes.
Hospital fetishes? That's a whole other thing.
Yeah. It's a little weird, I know.
I would have another baby just to get the hospital food.
Next up, breast milk. Drink 4 ounces straight for $100, or drink a cup of coffee with 1/4 ounce of breast milk for free.
Did you say coffee?
I said coffee.
I heard
coffee. Should I restate the question?
I heard coffee.
I heard coffee as well.
Oh, thank you. I like this guy.
Maybe that's why I like
you might be my new co-host, Chris. You're really, you're really sinking.
All right, let's do this.
Talk to you later, guys.
Bye.
All right, I will restart and not say cop. Next up is breast milk. Drink 4 ounces straight for $100, or have to drink a cup of coffee with 1/4 ounces of breast milk in it for free.
All right, I think we make Chris go first this time.
I'm doing the 1/4 ounce in the coffee.
Yeah, 1/4 ounce in the coffee.
I'll shoot 4 ounces for $100.
Nice.
$100 will go a lot further in Florida.
That's right. That's like $5,000 in New York.
Right.
All right. Let's get into some duty humor here. Most aggravating type of baby poop. The kind that's sticky like tar but contained, or a watery substance that's breaching the diaper, usually up the back?
I'm going to say the watery one up the back. No question.
This might be surprising, but I'm going to say sticky like tar.
I think I show most of my frustration with sticky like tar.
Wife's post-baby diet. Support by dieting too, or support by lying about what you secretly eat?
I lie. I pretend I'm supporting, but I lie about what I'm secretly eating constantly.
I think our listeners know that I also lie.
I would say I don't lie, but I don't. Oh, I guess that's not an option. I guess the closest one is that I lie, but I really just eat what I want. Blatantly.
You'll have time to explain yourself.
See, in our world, those are the only two options. Okay. We don't seem to have the ability to be honest about it. It's our problem, not our wives.
Family Matters father Carl Winslow's big appetite. Silly sitcom character trait, or sign of clinical food addiction as evidenced by his quick temper?
Chris, you're the expert on this one.
Chris has to go on this one.
Yeah, I think I'll take this one first. I'm going to say the latter. I'm going to say it's a sign of problems with Carl.
I'm going to agree, absolutely.
Since I've never seen the show, I'm going to say that's a silly sitcom character trait. I'll explain later.
Nice.
And last one. I seem to get all the duty humor here. Eating something while changing a diaper. Yes, I've done it, or no way.
Pretty sure I've done it.
Yeah, I know there's time to qualify and explain. So I'm going to say yeah, I've done it.
I have not done it, so at this point I'm saying no way.
All right.
Let's circle back.
All right.
Let's explain ourselves, folks. We started out with burping the baby. We all agreed right off the bat that this was an annoying chore, but you guys had the babies much more recent than I had. Was there any point where it was kind of a cool challenge?
It's cool when they actually burp. It's like a relief, and it's kind of cool when that happens, but there are a lot of times where the baby doesn't burp, and you're just pounding away on it for a long time, and it's frustrating, and it's just annoying in general.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that, because I don't know if most babies just burp as soon as you start patting their backs, but mine didn't. So everyone goes, oh, you have to burp the baby. I start doing it, like nothing happens. And then when she did, it was great. It was like I accomplished something.
Yeah, it feels kind of cool when they do burp, and it sounds cool. Yeah, but
mostly annoying.
I don't even know if banging on their back does anything.
I remember a phase, and it was short-lived, where I was good at it, and I took pride in that. But then it didn't take long before that progressed into annoying chore. But I think the cool challenge aspect is very, very fleeting.
Yeah, when it comes to manual labor in general, my philosophy is you don't want to be good at it. You don't want to be good at anything that involves work.
You don't want to be known as the guy who's the burping expert, because then strangers are going to be coming to you and
handing you their babies.
This is a new potential revenue stream here.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
burping
maybe.
Consultant of sorts.
Kind of like a wet nurse.
Yeah, exactly.
Or like the burp whisperer. We have a reality show.
It could be on Nat Geo.
This is our new podcast, guys. Burp whisperer.
Bring a new infant on each week, and Hugh will birth them on air.
The only thing stupider than a TV show about birthing babies is a podcast about birthing babies.
Yep.
Can we work that into one of our podcasts? That would be a regular occurring segment.
Special guest, a baby.
New baby every week. Next up was mother's drinking restrictions. Abstain and support or get loaded. And I think, Chris, you should probably explain yourself first because you said you were just going to get loaded as needed.
Right. So, yeah, we liked to drink before the pregnancy and I wasn't quite ready to stop altogether. So I still wanted to have some fun. But what I realized is it wasn't as needed. It was on certain occasions. So like 4th of July party, I got a little too drunk, like things like that. In general, I didn't abstain, but we used to have dinner and then we'd have an after dinner drink. And I started replacing that with ice cream. So it's kind of abstaining.
Ah. Yeah, that's a pro tip.
I would still drink.
So there's a level of support there. You didn't just get loaded all night every night.
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing a podcast about the last season of Family Matters, so you'd need a certain amount of alcohol probably.
Well, yeah. Although I had a rule. Everybody on my show, any guests could drink as much, not as much as they wanted, because then it gets sloppy. But I never had a drink before doing it, just because I couldn't. I would not be focused, and then I would say something really stupid.
Yeah.
You got to steer that ship.
Exactly. Yeah. Someone's got to run this thing.
The sober tones in which you analyzed every episode of Family Matters.
Yes, yes.
So I said generally abstain and support, and here's the agreement that Mrs. Budget and myself have worked out, which I think worked pretty well. I would drink things that she did not care for or did not like, and that's all that I would drink in front of her. So, for example, she doesn't care for port wine at all, so I would drink port in the evenings.
You do?
That was just an example.
It's interesting, Rod, that you chose abstain and talked about how you kind of drink all the time. Chris chose that he gets loaded as needed, but it seemed to me like he gets ice cream more often than he drinks.
That's true, yeah.
I think I'm going to pick up a theme here that Chris is just more honest than either of us. This one didn't hit too close to home for me. Mrs. Gallen and I are not huge drinkers, and I was able to join her in that without too much issue. But one thing I cannot abstain from is hospital food. I said that hospital food is quite tasty. Rod, you said it's to be avoided. Chris, you said it's tasty. I've given my reasons on the show why I'm a big fan of hospital food. It's the right warmth. I have an odd affection for institutional food. Food that's been cooked in large, large batches. I'm not sure why.
Oh.
He doesn't even know what to say to that.
After my wife had her baby, they'd bring her food. She usually didn't want it. I would clean the plate on that stuff. Rod, what do you have against hospital food?
Here's the deal. I'll eat hospital food because I like food, and you like food a lot, and you're isolated in a hospital, so you're going to eat it. But given the choice between hospital food and non-hospital food, I'll almost always take the non-hospital food. I don't think hospital food tastes good in general. I'm still going to eat it when I'm in the hospital. So if given the chance to run out and get some fast food or bring something back into the hospital room, I'll always take that option. And like a chocolate chip cookie, if I go to the hospital cafeteria and get a cookie, it's going to taste good. But I'm not ready to make the blanket statement that hospital food is good because most of it's very bland and not good compared to non-hospital food.
I think what you're missing is the rare opportunity to get hospital food. You can run out to McDonald's whenever you want, but how often are you in a hospital?
That doesn't make it good. Maybe mentally, we're getting into like some meta stuff here. So mentally you're saying it's good because I don't have it that often.
Well,
Is that part of it? It's part of the enjoyment?
I guess that's part of the enjoyment, but I have a genuine affection for it. It comes covered
in
plastic.
Yeah, I think it's like a whole different,
little,
it's a whole different level for you. Like, it's not understandable.
Chris, you seemed willing to defend hospital food. Perhaps not to my level, but what...
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris needs to jump in.
Did you eat hospital food while your wife was... what's the word I'm looking for?
Making a baby.
After your wife popped out a baby?
Yeah, after she popped it out, we ate hospital food, and we ate it willingly, and I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't have any expectations for it. I just figured it was food. And the thing I maybe really liked about it is that it was comped for us because of our insurance. It was just covered. So I was like, oh, and it's free? Like, I had a really good chicken salad sandwich one day for lunch. And I was like, oh, that was tasty. And then I had like a cookie. That was good. And then one night I had a whole big chicken dinner and pizza. And the pizza wasn't bad. It was weird. I was surprised at how good it was. And now we go to the hospital every Friday night for dinner.
See, Rod, the food sticks out in his mind.
It does, yeah.
I'm onto something. All right. Here.
I mean,
maybe you just had a bad hospital, Rod.
I see where it's kind of a.
Yeah, try some different ones out.
Yeah, I need to injure myself immediately.
It might be a psychology of low expectations. I'll give
I
it
get
that.
That it's a unique environment, it's kitschy, but I still don't think it makes it good food.
I'm not trying to be kitschy here. It comes covered in that, like, that little thing that keeps it the right temperature. It's not too hot. It's not too cold.
Yep. Talking about the cellophane or, like, the tortilla-looking
lid? The tortilla lid. It's exactly a tortilla lid. that was oddly the perfect
description.
I do
like the tortilla
lid. It does look like a tortilla.
The tortilla lid's nice. I'll give you that much. Maybe I'm expecting tortillas. That's why I'm
disappointed every time you open it. I just wish there were a pile of plain tortillas under this.
Exactly. If I ever get tortillas at the hospital, I'll be happy. That would make you happy.
Well, I could go on about hospital food all day, but...
I'm sure you could.
We'll move on.
Here comes a segue.
Breast milk. Sounds like you guys want coffee with a little breast milk. I'm willing to drink some for $100, no doubt about it. Tell me about the coffee and the lack of wanting to drink it.
I think this one's just a factor of the numbers, right? Everyone's got their price. I'm not saying I don't have my price.
First of all, have you drank breast milk? That's
the I haven't.
I have not either. I have not.
I do have my price. I don't know what it is. I just don't think it's $100. $1,000, I'm a shoe-in. Give me 4 ounces, no problem. In between there.
I haven't drank it either. I'm just assuming it doesn't taste that bad.
I don't know if it's the taste that I'm objecting to.
You drink milk from a cow. It's the same stuff. It's a mammal.
Right, but it goes through a process to be pasteurized, and it comes from a store.
Not your wife.
Well, I do know that breast milk is extremely healthy. It's very good for you.
Well, that's true.
At least it's good for babies.
Yeah, I mean, if it's good for babies, it's got to be good for adults.
I get it's weird. It's a little weird.
I said the coffee thing, and... Yes, it is a numbers game, and 4 ounces for $100, it didn't equate for me. However, we're always running out of milk in the fridge for coffee, so if I had to, you know, quarter ounce, I could do it.
If we were to play the name your price game on 4 ounces, Chris, are you above or below $1,000?
I'm going to say $10 million.
How about we go the other direction with it? Would you do a drop for $100? Like a milliliter of milk on your tongue?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I'll chase it quickly with my coffee with an ounce of breast milk.
Right.
All right, from breast milk to most aggravating baby poop. Sticky like tar, but contained or watery and breaching the diaper up the back.
I didn't really hesitate with this one, and the reason is because the tarry kind was not that long ago because I have a very young infant. So I remember it, and I remember being shocked that that was a thing that happens in the hospital when I changed the first diaper. I was like, oh, something has gone terribly wrong with this baby. And they're like, no, that's just they poop. It looks like tar. I said, oh, okay.
It's the meconium.
Yes, yeah. And then, so I was disgusted at first, but then I realized it actually comes off pretty easy. Once you wipe it, there's nothing left behind. Like, it's pretty clean as far as poop goes. But then you get to the watery stuff, and they're blowing diapers out, and it's a whole big mess, and it doesn't smell as good. So, no.
See, I have the exact opposite, but I think poops are different from baby to baby and extent to extent, but I've had a lot of problem getting the tar off, and that's why I can't stand them, because it just sticks, almost to the point where I've just gotten really frustrated and said, this is not going to come off.
It's part of the baby now.
Baby's going to grow into an adult with tar on their butt.
But with like the wet wipe, you kind of have to pinch the wet wipe and get the scrubbing the baby. Whereas with the watery one, even though it breaches, if it breaches up the back, it's kind of a pain, but not that bad. And the watery, it just comes right off with a little wet wipe action. So for me, the tar was a headache.
Yeah, I mean, we have to speak in generalizations here because I think you could safely say the worst breach is going to be more aggravating than a mild tar and vice versa. I went with the tar on this one for many of the same reasons as Rod. Believe me, I don't love a breach, but I recall scrubbing and scrubbing, and I was like, I'm definitely going to hurt this baby trying to get this off, but I got so hyper-focused on the tar that I forgot about my delicate child. Chris, how old is your baby now?
She is 5 months. Just turning 5 months.
She might hit the hard tar, the more difficult tar stage at some point soon.
You think she's going back to tar at some point? I thought that was just a newborn thing.
Yeah, no. It retrogrades back into tar.
God.
I think that's what you're missing.
Rod, your children might need to go see a doctor because I don't remember that.
Yours didn't retrograde?
Wait a minute. Wait, are you feeding them tar? That could explain a lot.
That might be the problem, actually.
Chris, I could say the thing that you have to now look forward to is when your daughter starts eating the same foods as you're eating, basically. Now I'm thinking it's still a lot of baby food and milk and things like that. And the poop tends to keep a consistency. But once they start eating meals like you're eating, they poop very similar to what you would poop.
Right. Yeah. To be honest, I'm okay with this current selection of poop because none of it's very hard to clean up and none of it really smells like poop, like real poop, adult poop. So, you know, I'm going to enjoy it while it lasts.
Next up is wife's post-baby diet. Support by dieting too, or support by lying about what you secretly eat. I think everybody knows Hugh and myself are huge liars. I don't think that's a big secret, but it sounds like Chris might not lie quite as much.
Well, I lie just like everyone else in the world, especially to my wife, but
is she going to listen to this?
She might, yeah, she definitely will. But no, the reason I said that was because I just got into sweets a lot right after the baby was born, and I'm typically not a sweets guy. I usually always go salty, but for some reason, right after the baby was born, and I was in that kind of like days of not sleeping and not really eating meals, all I wanted was donuts all the time. I was like, can we get donuts again? And my wife's like, it's 10 p.m.
Postpartum cravings.
Yes. Yeah. I was having those. So she wasn't even that into sweets at that point, but I drove to go get donuts at weird hours of the day. So the diet was not even a thing. And at this point, we're pretty much back to eating normal.
This is broader than just a post-baby diet. I'm usually the one who's dragging the family down. We talk a lot on the show about covert eating. And I like to convince myself that I'm doing it for the good of my family because they don't really want to know most of what I eat because it would just tempt them. I think I lie out of support.
Yeah, if you're really a hero when it comes to that sort of thing. I do a lot of covert eating as well, but I agree with you on this. I'm doing it for the good of the greater cause, and if I go out and have 3 or 4 Big Macs while nobody's looking, then that's really doing everybody a big, big favor.
Yeah, you're like the Batman of eating junk food.
I like that. Can I adopt that moniker?
You should.
Chris, another reason we brought you on the show is because I heard on Family Chatters that you were a new dad, and I immediately thought, here's a guy who maybe could use some advice. Now, it's possible that you'll raise your family on a basis other than lies and deceit. It's also entirely possible that if you want to continue to eat donuts, be prepared potentially to adopt some covert eating habits. Again, unless you're interested in being honest with your family, which I think is a fool's errand.
Well, no, you're absolutely right about that. But you raise a good point because right now my baby doesn't know what anything is, never mind what we're eating. So there will come a day where if I have a donut, she's going to say, oh, I want a donut. And then I'm going to have to say, no, you can't have one. I'm just having one. So either I just have to be mean or lie.
The hypocrisy or the dishonesty or, well, I guess it's not an either or. You kind of have to do both.
Or eat the donut in the shower. All right, let's get into the real meat of the issue here.
My real name is Reginald Bell Johnson.
Family Matters father Carl Winslow's big appetite. I said silly sitcom character trait while you two said it was a sign of a real, real problem here. I'll just go ahead since I haven't seen the show and give you my rationale. I know Carl Winslow, I know who he is, and he just seems like a jolly fellow to me. I think when you get a lot of these bigger overweight guys, they're just silly. It's a silly character. They're fun. Big fat guy, that's fun. That's silly. There's nothing wrong with it. I don't think there's anything else going on. I think you guys are taking the show a little too seriously, psychoanalyzing a little bit too much. The guy's just a big, fat, jolly guy.
Of course we're over-psychoanalyzing.
Yeah, I mean, well, that was the entire podcast was doing that. So I had no choice but to do it. Basically, I would have agreed with you had I not spent last year watching season 9 of Family Matters every week. So
you may be more qualified than myself. I tried to make a convincing, confident argument.
Maybe it's just because I watched it so much and I had to think of things other than he's just a fat guy. But my theory is that there's a lot of scenes where he's eating junk food in the middle of the night when no one else is awake and people find him eating an entire cake. And people, you know, the audience laughs and everyone's like, oh, Carl, and then they move on to something else.
See, the audience laughs. Yeah.
I think he's funny and silly, but I think he's dealing with something on the inside, which is that his house is a revolving door of weirdos who just keep coming in. Steve Urkel shows up to his house and walks in every day and ruins things and breaks things and doesn't give a Sorry, pardon my French.
Can't be said another way.
And he's trying to get with the guy's daughter this entire 9 years, All he does is come over, he breaks something, he tries to get with his daughter all the time. And then he's got all these other randos coming in. There's like an orphan who lives there in the last season that just showed up.
3J just shows up.
Yeah, 3J just shows up. This guy is a...
I've got to watch this immediately. I have to watch
this. He's a cop just trying to raise his family and teach them good morals. And all this bizarre stuff keeps happening to him. And he copes by eating cake at 3 a.m. alone. And I can't blame him.
Sounds like maybe he is crying on the inside.
Yeah, that's my theory.
I mean, on network TV, they can't have him turn into the bottle all the time. So a complete cake seems like a good stand-in for what they're really trying to tell us there.
That's a good point. Had season 9 been on HBO or Showtime, he would have been shooting heroin probably.
Yeah, absolutely. There was one episode in season 9 where he orders a beer at a bar and takes one sip. And I just thought it was funny because it's like the thing. I guess they do this in every show, but they order a generic beer. They're like, beer, please. And they order it, they take one sip, and then they leave. Like, no one does that.
Right. Doesn't seem very economically viable.
You can make Family Matters your own, and I think we can all relate to it in our own way. And what I see in Carl Winslow is the struggle that I feel as a father, and it's basically that you have your home, and you want to be the king of your castle and eat what you want to eat and do what you want to do, but there's some annoying creature always around, always disturbing your peace and always disturbing what you're trying to do, namely trying to eat something. So that's going to drive you to the secret eating, the late eating.
Are we talking about Hugh Gallen here or Carl Winslow?
Aren't we all a little bit Carl Winslow?
Yeah.
I think Urkel represents the annoyance that we live through with these kids getting in the way of eating things like cake. I know there's at least a couple of episodes and scenes where the premise is Carl's trying to eat something and Urkel just won't leave him alone.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. This almost is bordering on, like, we could have a college course on this.
This is symbolism.
There's a very deep analysis that can be done on this to really pick out all the symbolism. It's a lot like Citizen Kane or any of the classic films out there. The harder you look at them, the more you find.
A lot of plot twists.
The fat hungry dad is easily a trope, usually played for silliness, usually played for laughs, but I think there's something deeper in Carl Winslow and Family Matters that taps into maybe the zeitgeist. I'm not sure what zeitgeist means, but
I don't either, but I love it. I love that you used it.
Pretty sure that it's a Nazi concentration camp. We should probably
I'll Google that later.
I think it's didactic. That's what I think. The whole food thing is didactic.
I think it's a schism.
I think it's trenchant.
Wow. Didactic, I think I actually used correctly.
I think I made up the word trenchant. I'm not even sure.
Last but not least, eating something while changing a diaper. The two hungry dads have done it. Chris, not yet, but maybe sometime in the future if I was reading between the lines there.
We did this Quick Hits previously, and we talked about eating on the toilet. And I'm going to compare this to that. In the immediate reaction, I had to say, yeah, I've done it, but I'm not going to sit here and say I'm proud of it. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a tactic that I endorse. But from time to time, the necessity of diapers, the necessity of eating, the desire to finish what you're eating. I mean, as long as you're very careful, I think it can be done. Probably should be avoided.
I'm not saying I'm like eating an enchilada or a hot dog or something while I'm changing a diaper. Generally, I'm pretty sure I've had a protein bar with me while changing a pee diaper. I don't think I've done it with poop. I think it's generally something that I was already eating when I had to go change a diaper and it wasn't worth putting down. But not like a meal, or I'm not sitting like a plate of spaghetti next to baby while baby is poopy.
My memories are hazy, but I could imagine my affection for hospital food and the frequent diaper changes that occurred in that scenario. There might have been a plate of spaghetti within arm's reach of a tar diaper change.
It probably was.
Those two worlds had to merge.
Those diaper changes are pretty sticky, pretty contained. The delicious hospital food is right there.
So with this one, I would say not against it morally. However, logistically, I don't see how you could do it. Right now, I can't physically do anything else while changing a diaper because it's all focused on that, because we have the changing table on the dresser, and take one hand off her, she could fly off, and then that's bad. You're not supposed to do that.
You'll get way more lackadaisical over time.
Oh, I'm sure. But I can't imagine having enough free hands to do it at this point.
Yeah, the whole thing gets a little more fast and loose at a certain point. And now that I think really hard of it, I think I've probably had half a sandwich in my hand while doing a wet diaper.
So that means with one hand, you were putting a new diaper on, taking the old one off, wiping all of that with a sandwich in the other hand?
I think the move is you've got half sandwich, not a full sandwich.
Of course.
Hold the sandwich,
hold the sandwich in your mouth.
Yeah.
and you keep one hand from being exposed to any sort of excretions. One stays your clean hand. That allows you to take a bite, chew while you hold things in containment, and then once you swallow, you can put the sandwich back in your mouth, go back with two hands.
A sandwich, that's intense.
I gotta put an embargo on anything that has sauce on it, your chicken wings, your ribs. In fact, even if your sandwich has more than a little bit of mustard on it, steer clear.
Yeah.
Or even a tomato falling out, that could be dangerous.
God forbid.
It's got to be a low viscosity food, I think. You can't have
like a Hot Pocket or something.
A Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket would injure everyone in the room.
Child services may be after you.
Just for eating Hot Pockets in the same room as a baby?
Hot Pocket.
Chris, let's take a break here. I want to talk to you a little bit about your new podcast.
Yes.
It's called Step by Step. I have a couple questions. First one is, what's the podcast about? Number two, what are we supposed to call ourselves if we're fans of Step by Step? I'm a chat head. Oh. Am I a step head? What am I?
That's the second one is a great question. I don't think I've gotten that far with it. So Step by Step is a new podcast. So what happened with Family Chatters was I relegated myself to the 9th season at the very beginning, not even thinking that I would do all of it. I really didn't know. I was like, I'll do a few of these and see how it goes. And I ended up enjoying it. I did all of them. And then the series ended and that was it. So I feel like it would be disingenuous to go back and start doing old seasons of Family Matters. And it just was a lot of effort to gather people. I had people on in character a lot and it was just a lot of work. So I wanted to do a new podcast after things settled down with the baby. And I wanted to keep something in the same vein as Family Chatters, something sitcom related. And I couldn't think of anything. Believe it or not, there are a ton of podcasts about 90s sitcoms. And then one day I was at work and the words Step by Step popped in my head and it made me chuckle. And I was like, I wonder if this is something. And then I was like, probably not. And then I thought about it more. And I was like, I don't have a better idea. It's about the TV show Step by Step, which aired in 1991.
Suzanne Somers, Patrick Duffy.
Yeah, it was on for a long time. It doesn't have quite the lore that Family Matters does, but it was on for a long time. We break down an episode of Step by Step, but the twist is we also talk about Scott Stapp, who is the lead singer of Creed, and you're probably thinking what those have nothing to do with each other, and you would be correct. However, on the show, we try to somehow relate the lyrics of a Creed song to the specific episode of Step by Step we just watched, because our hypothesis that we posit every episode is that Scott Stapp was influenced by Step by Step, the show, when he created the band Creed, and every song is about an episode of Step by Step.
You're probably very correct in that.
We end up doing that part, the tying the two things together, at the very end, like in the last 5 minutes, and it always just kind of happens, and you're like, oh, yeah, of course, it's this.
And makes perfect
kind
sense.
Kind of logically almost makes sense, even though it doesn't. It's extremely ridiculous.
Well, with that, I have a food-centrically titled song by Creed. It's called Bread of Shame. I don't want to go into the step-by-step aspect of thing. That's your beat, Chris. But I thought we'd take a look at the lyrics for Bread of Shame and see what we think about it, what maybe Scott Stapp was thinking about when he wrote this song. And I'll just read the chorus here.
Sing the chorus, please. Come on.
I'm going to do it more of a spoken word, but I will give it the requisite respect because, Chris, let me share with Rod a rule of your show, and I'll extend it to our show as well. We're not here to make fun. We're not allowed to make fun of Scott Stapp.
Yes. Thank you for observing that rule. We made that rule in the first episode because it would be too easy to make fun of Scott Stapp because that's kind of what we're doing. But to just outright bash him the whole time is no fun at some point. So we decided we made a rule. Nobody's allowed to say anything negative about Scott Stapp. You can talk about the song, you can talk about him, but you're not allowed to say anything that is bad about him.
I want to read Mr. Stapp's lyrics with the requisite respect and solemn tone that it deserves. This is from Bread of Shame. Guess there's no one to blame when all you're living on is bread of shame. Bread of shame when the world says I've changed. Bread of shame. Just promise me fame. I'll survive on the bread of shame.
I think I know what he's talking about. Immediately what popped into my mind, he and his wife just had a baby, and he's eating donuts on the sly. And he's calling them his bread of shame.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's probably it, because there's no one to blame.
Right.
So the bread of shame is the donut. Donuts are a bread.
It's a joyous occasion. There's no blame.
But maybe his significant other is not so into the fact that he's eating these donuts. Maybe she's on a diet, and maybe he's just got this desire to eat donuts. It's shameful, but he has to do it.
And when the world says he's changed, that means he just had his first baby, probably.
Yes, so. Exactly, yes.
And I think Just Promise Me Fame, I'll Survive on the Bread of Shame, is he's banking on this newborn baby to be a celebrity and support him in the future. Yes. So.
Yeah, obviously, he's hoping for a child star baby.
Yeah, it's deep. The first thing that popped into my head was Wonder Bread, because it's got a negative connotation of this white bread that nobody eats anymore. So that was the bread of shame to me. All he's living on is Wonder Bread. The world says he's changed, but he just always goes back to the good old Wonder Bread, which he's just a little ashamed about.
I had three thoughts on it. And the first one was that Scott Stapp simply just couldn't reconcile his gluten allergy. He was unnecessarily embarrassed by the gluten allergy. But I don't know if that one was it. I thought perhaps this was a week of Passover. Scott Stapp had some leavened bread.
For all our Jewish listeners out there.
You are not allowed to eat leavened bread during Passover. And to do so would obviously bring great shame to anybody. But what I finally landed on, I think, is that simply speaking, Scott Stapp was cheating on his low-carb Atkins diet. You know, he just can't help himself. He's eating this bread of shame. The world says he's changed. He has changed. He used to be a man who ate bread. The fame that he has a lot of pressure on keeping a nice rock star figure. Just promise me fame, I'll survive on the bread of shame.
Wow.
Another possibility I just thought of with Just Promise Me Fame is he's a big fan of the 1980 movie Fame about New York City dancers, I believe.
Oh, you think he's literally talking about the movie Fame?
The movie Fame, yeah. I'm thinking
he wants the DVD?
Maybe he's talking about the band Bread, too.
Oh, wow, yeah. It's all coming together.
Maybe this is just really literal.
It's all coming together here. Promise me a DVD of Fame, and I'll survive on the Bread.
And the Bread there being the band. Yes. The band, yes. Bread.
Right. Until I get this DVD, I'm really looking forward to. He's just going to listen to the band.
Right, but he's ashamed of it.
Occupy his
because
time.
His bandmates don't think it's as hardcore as it should be. I also like how he can't just go get the DVD of Fame. Someone has to promise it to him.
He wants it as a gift. He's been waiting for it. Someone, he's been dropping hints, maybe to a wife or a girlfriend for a long time.
And they're
time.
Just not picking up on it, maybe because they're not taking it as literally as they should.
That's a sad Scott Stapp.
It is.
Chris, any other parting words for us?
No, just thanks for having me on. It was fun to do this other podcast that was not about a 90s sitcom, but ended up that way anyway. And
plug your podcast.
Yeah, if you want to if you want to look at my podcast, you can. But if you want to listen to it, you can go to stepbystep.com. We're posting episodes every Friday there. There'll be a new one coming out this week. And if you want to go back and listen to Family Chatters, that's still around as well. It's on iTunes, it's on SoundCloud, it's everywhere.
Yeah, I insist. Stop listening to this podcast. Drop Hungry Dads, pick up Step by Step. Chris, thanks a ton for coming.
Absolutely.
Great to have you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris. Hungry Dads. Visit our website at hungrydads.com. Follow us on Twitter at hungry_dads. This has been a Hungry Dads production. We have a port story here.
We
come
do.
On, you remember the port. Come on.
Rod and I were out in New York.
Tell the story.
Rod and I were out in New
amazing.
York.
I like this.
When we were much younger and much...
First we showed up drunk to my friend's
house. We were broke.
Totally,
we were broke,
like,
and young in New York.
Their party. Like everyone wanted us gone. We followed them to this club without realizing we didn't have any money. And all we had is money. It was like, could we each afford a port wine?
We pooled our money and had like $8. That got us a port.
One port wine to share between the two.
And you guys were like, you guys were coming club. After me for drinking during my wife's pregnancy. Jeez.
That was really one of the most hilariously pathetic nights out I've really ever had. And it's funny. I mean, you don't know us, Chris, but that really isn't like our go-to. Like, we don't get drunk at trash parties and do.
It's probably the only. It's the only time we've been to a club
exactly.
in New York, probably. And we had $8 and we bought a port.
That's awesome.
Anyway. Yeah.